This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. 30 years ago, grizzly bears were so rare in the Rocky Mountain West that the federal government put them on the threatened species list. Now, government biologists say the bears are thriving in at least one place, in and around Yellowstone National Park. And any day now, the government is expected to propose taking the bears in that area off the list. NPR's Elizabeth Shogren has the story.
On a windswept hill in Yellowstone's Hayden Valley, a few dozen tourists are on the lookout for grizzlies. There's a buffalo carcass in the meadow below, and grizzlies have been feasting on it on and off for 2 days. Now the only things feeding on it are a few ravens. Bob Panazzo from Chicago has a powerful scope pointing at the carcass.
I'm just going to wait until it gets too dark to see.
The grizzly population here has grown from a low of about 200 in the 1970s to about 600. That makes it much easier to see grizzlies. In fact, Panazzo says he's had 48 bear sightings in 2 weeks. Yellowstone's bear biologist, Carrie Gunther, says there was a time when it was even easier for visitors to see a grizzly. All they had to do was go to a park dump.
Up until the 40s, the park actually had bleachers with feeding stations where you could come watch bears eat garbage. And you could also feed bears along the roadsides.
With plentiful trash and pilfered picnics, Yellowstone's grizzlies were fat and fertile for many decades. But there was a problem. Because grizzlies relied on garbage for food, they got too close to humans. Grizzly attacks were frequent and sometimes fatal. Field scientist Chuck Neal has been researching bears for decades.
For 100 years, they were doing that kind of nonsense, and someone decided this is not the way we should be treating bears. We're going to cut them off, make them go cold turkey.
Park officials closed the dumps in the early 70s. Neal says that wasn't easy on the bears.
These bears were like drug addicts. I mean, they had to have this quick fix of garbage, high-protein garbage. So they started coming into campgrounds and ranch yards and so forth looking for garbage.
The park installed bear-proof trash cans and started discouraging visitors from feeding grizzlies. But the bears didn't adapt easily. Denied trash in Yellowstone, grizzlies wandered into communities outside the park, searching for food and clashing with people. Rangers, hunters, and annoyed residents shot hundreds of bears. Again, Chuck Neal.
So within a year or two after 72, they looked around and said, my God, the bears are all gone. You know, let's list the bear. So in 75, the bear was listed as a threatened species.
At that point, the grizzly, which had once roamed from Texas to California, had nearly been rubbed out by people. Their numbers in the West had shrunk from 50,000 to just 1,000, about 200 of those in Yellowstone.
People look at them as, you know, the ultimate wild, powerful animal. The truth of it is that they are totally vulnerable to us and what we do as humans.
Biologist Chris Servine drives his government SUV through Yellowstone's bumpy roads, looking for grizzlies. For 24 years, he's headed the federal effort to restore the bears to the West.
This is the way up to Antelope Creek, so we'll go up there and see what we can see. Sun is just coming up. Good time to be out here.
Stretching before us is a huge basin covered with a patchwork of meadows, wetlands, and forests. It's great grizzly habitat.
Time was when it was pretty difficult to see grizzly bears in Yellowstone. But as the population has continued to increase, they've become more and more visible.
Servine says as grizzlies recovered, they spread beyond the park to places where they hadn't been for 100 years.
To a great degree, I think the success was due to the fact that people cooperated. They understood that they had to change their behavior in order to keep bears in a healthy condition, and they did.
They removed temptations like garbage, livestock, and pet food that lead bears into encounters with people. The killing slowed, and the grizzlies gradually recovered.
That was where we were lucky. We kind of got out of their way and allowed them to reproduce and survive, and they did it.
The efforts are paying off for people as well as bears. For decades before the 1980s, there was an average of 48 bear maulings a year in Yellowstone. Now there's one. No one has been killed by a bear in Yellowstone for 20 years. Servine says the time is ripe to take the grizzly off the threatened species list.
Grizzly bears won't notice that they've been delisted.
He's been working for years on a plan to transfer management of the grizzlies to the states. He says it would provide strong protection for the bears by banning new roads, logging, or other development across most of their habitat. States would have more leeway to decide when to kill problem bears and how much hunting to allow outside of the park. But they'd have to keep the Yellowstone grizzly population above 500.
There's going to be strict limits on mortality, on development. There's not going to be some big change through the eyes of the bears.
Many environmentalists disagree with Servine. Louisa Wilcox from Natural Resources Defense Council says grizzlies still need the protection of the Endangered Species Act. That law makes it illegal in most cases to kill or even harass a grizzly.
Because the grizzly is the slowest reproducing mammal in North America, because it is so vulnerable to small changes in killing rates of grizzly bears, a very few number of bear deaths can result in changing an increasing population to a decline, can result in changing a success story into a tragedy.
Ecologist Chuck Neal adds that there are major threats to two of the grizzly's main food sources in Yellowstone, nuts from whitebark pine and cutthroat trout.
You've got some crises coming up with bears, and no one seems to want to face up to it because they say, hey, we got recovery. I think it's premature. There's no question that the bear population is recovering, but in my mind, it is not recovered.
The fact that they're healthy, that there's hundreds and hundreds of grizzly bears now, and that they're going to be guaranteed into the future is, you know, makes me feel good. I want my kids to be able to see them.
Servine says he's heard any number of dark imaginings about the fate of the grizzly bear without the protection of the Endangered Species Act. But as he drives through Yellowstone, he's optimistic about the bear's future.
There's very few other things that have that ability to instill that magical memory and intensity of the moment that a sighting of a grizzly bear does. And that's a wonderful thing.
Oh, wait a minute, wait. What do you want to see, bison or a grizzly bear?
On that windy hill overlooking Yellowstone's Hayden Valley, Bob Panazzo and a few dozen other tourists are hoping for just such a moment. Their binoculars and attention are focused on the bison carcass in front of them.
There she is. Look at her, look at her.
From behind them, two grizzlies, a mother and cub, bound into view.
Don't move. Just relax, relax.
The bears race through the sagebrush.
I think the dinner bell rang.
A hush comes over the crowd as they pass by, about 100 yards from the tourists.
The cub is in the lead, so I guess he's really hungry.
Visitors from Asia, Europe, and across the U.S. watch as the grizzlies return to their feast and dig in.
Wow. Nadine, il faut que tu regardes. Tu les as vus où, là?
Là, juste là.
This is incredible.
Italian tourists Matteo Alani and his mother Paola Moretti waited 5 hours hoping to see grizzlies in action.
That's really emotional, how do you say? It was a dream for us to see a grizzly, so.
I'm still shaking. I don't know what, really. Because in Rome we just have cats.
Yeah.
I think this is a memory that I will take with me during all my life.
Just down the hill from where Moretti is standing, tourists are pulling up in cars, minivans, and RVs, creating what park officials call a bear jam. Everyone wants to see a grizzly. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News.